We sing the song quite often. We sing the song, and everybody's probably familiar with, and it is a song, and it's titled God Bless America. Everybody familiar with that so far? When we think about that particular song, there's so often we sing it, and we sing it at special events, and we sing it many times at a military gathering. We sing that song quite often, and I think about how we sing that song with so much passion. God bless America, and I know today that He does. I know that not only has He blessed our nation, but we know that God blesses the world. Would you agree with that today? God is an awesome God, and we need to thank God for His blessings. And I know that God blesses America. I know that He blesses you. I know that He blesses me. I know that God has blessed us in the past. We know that He is blessing us today because He's afforded us an opportunity to be right here to worship Him. And I know that God will continue to bless His followers. He will continue to bless those who are Christians. He will continue to bless those who have put Him first and foremost in their lives. We are promised in the book of Revelation chapter 2, the latter part of verse 10. And He'll bless us with that crown of life. Do you understand that? When we do what He's calling us to do, we will truly be blessed. He's giving us and He will reward us that great crown. God bless America. This, brothers and sisters, is indeed our plea. But the question is this, but should He? Should He this very day, honestly, seriously, should He bless our nation? With all the things today that mankind has perverted, with all the things today that mankind has twisted, with the way that mankind has treated His church, that has treated one another, rose up against each other, families that are against each other, nations that are against each other, church members that are against each other, should God really bless America like we sing that song with so much passion? So with all that's going on in the world today, I wonder why. Why is it that God will just continue to bless us? We know there is sin on every corner. Iniquity fills the hearts of so many people today. We know that our government today, it doesn't take Sherlock Holmes to realize that our government would be, we could consider those words, corrupt. Would you agree with that? There's a lot of corruption going on in our government today. And sadly, that corruption is not limited to our government. Some of that corruption has moved into our workplace. Some of that corruption has moved into our homes. Some of that corruption has moved into the hearts of so many people that profess Christianity. Sadly, evil has moved into so many houses and homes across America today. And I'm fully convinced that that's where so many of our problems that we're seeing come out today is coming from. Disrupted homes. Homes that Satan himself has moved into. Homes that are divided. Homes that are filled with sin. Homes where there are little or no structure for the people who live there. You heard me say from this pulpit before, perhaps I'll say it a couple of more times during the lesson, the home is indeed the center point of society today. Would you agree with that statement? We must remember, and I said it before, and as I just said it again, with the home being the center point of society, we better get God back in our homes if we want to get our lives back on track with Jesus Christ. Listen, you and I both know we are living, I wish I could give you better news, but I can't. You know that we are living in a sin-sick society. Are you in agreement with that? We are living in a very sin-sick nation. Friends, listen. America and the world today needs God back in our lives. Do we get that? We've got to have God back into our lives. We need God back in our school system. We need God back in our society. We need God back in the churches today. We need God back in our hearts, brothers and sisters. God got put out of so many of these places, and now we're starting to see the results. Amen? We're seeing the ramifications of what happened when God is dismissed. Let me give you some results about some things that I found in Discover magazine. Listen to this. Here's a few of the results from God being pushed out of our school system, pushed out of our homes, pushed out of the churches today, pushed out of our hearts. Since 1965, listen to this, there's been a 560% increase in violent crimes. Wonder what's going on today? God got put out. Do you understand that? A 400% increase. Are you ready for this? 400% increase in illegitimate births. A quadrupling amount of marriages today ending in the divorce courts. and a tripling percentage of children today living with a single parent. God bless America, but should he when we're doing what we are doing? It's so sad that we are living in a nation, and we are living in a time, brother, when the nation is putting more trust in people than they are God. Would you agree with that? Today, people are investing and they are locking in people. It's not the people that can turn this around. It is God that can turn this around and will turn it around. And we just saw that a while ago. It's becoming pretty evident that people are putting God out. I keep hearing this, and it is driving me crazy. I keep hearing, everywhere I go, I keep hearing people talk about this. They say, boy, what a change we need in the White House. Have you ever heard that statement? What a change we need in the White House. And I'm concerned about who's going to the White House. And if she goes in, we're in trouble. Or he goes in, we're in trouble. Boy, the White House is in trouble today. I don't give a rat's ear about the White House. I care about the Lord's house. Do you understand? We should be excited about trying to get people to come into the Lord's house. God will put and he'll point who he wants in that White House. Amen? So let's make sure that we just put our trust in him. Quit investing all of your faith and all of your thought in which one of those two candidates is going to be elected. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying it with passion today. I'm not angry, I promise. But let's be concerned. I wish we as a nation of people was as concerned about getting people to come into the Lord's house as we are trying to get one particular person in the White House. Does that make sense or not? All right. So people today, as I said, are putting so much into the next president. Let me ask this question. Harris and Trump, can you fix the things that I've talked about? No, I don't think so. Since 1960, this nation that we live has suffered a 300% increase in teen suicide. A drop of 75% of the average ACT test for high school students. Hey, Harris. Hey, Trump. Can you fix this for us? I don't think so. America only has 4.23% of the whole world's population. And yet with that, we have 80% of the world's divorces. What does that tell you? America leads the industrialized world in rape and in murder, in violent crimes. 80% of the pornography that is in the world today, guess where it's found? In America. So don't tell me that we are not a nation that's in trouble today. Do you agree with that? Confirm it with an amen. So let's make sure that, yes, it's important that we vote. Yes, it's important that we do and we pray diligently to be sure that we are trying to select the right one. But let's make sure that our faith is not in Trump. It's not in Harris. Our faith is in God. Does that make sense to us today? I just want to remind us the importance of making sure that our focal point is on the Almighty God. When I think about these violent crimes, I think about all those things going on. I think about that pornography. I think about this murder. I think about these rapes. 80%, now listen to this one, here's another one. 80% of the whiskey, 80% of the whiskey consumed in the world is consumed by Americans. We wonder what's wrong? We're drunk. We wonder what's wrong? People can't make decisions. Why? They're stoned. The reality is mankind today has perverted life that God laid out for us. Do you agree with that? So do you agree with me today that it's important that we are concentrating on putting God in the White House, putting God in our house, putting God in the schoolhouse, putting God in the church house, putting God in our house? Yes or no? All right, so let me ask the question. Hey, Harris. Hey, Trump. Can you fix all this? As sad as it is, we are a nation where the bald eagle bird has more value today than an unborn baby. Isn't that pretty pathetic? This bird has more value than an unborn baby. Over 33 million abortions since 1973. Do we understand that that particular number is millions more than the numbers that was killed in all those wars that was combined? Donald Trump, hey, Harris, can you fix that problem? Say it with me. I don't think so. It's only God. Friends and church family, we need God. We need to turn back to God. All who have turned and went another way. Those who have placed more faith and more trust and more confidence in our government and in these government leaders than you have placed in the Lord. let's go back to that passage that was read to us in 2 Chronicles. I believe Stephen brought that to us a while ago. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Will you read with me 14 through 16? Will everybody read with me 14 through 16? All right. The Bible says, if whose people who are called by my name will just humble themselves and pray and seek my face, talking about the Lord, and turn from their wicked, watch this, and turn from their wicked ways, the Bible says, then I will hear them from heaven and will forgive their sin. And guess what else I'll do? Thank you, Dana. I'll heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. So we understand now that it's not Harris, it's not Trump that's going to solve everything. It's God, isn't it? If we would only put our trust in our Heavenly Father, put our trust in Almighty God. I promise you, I didn't come here today just to discuss the apparent condition of our nation. That's not my purpose for being here. But I want us all to understand the great need of refocusing. Because it seems that in many conversations that I hear in the kitchen, in many conversations I've heard out here, and some that I've even participated in, we're not really hearing things about God. Even here in this building, I keep hearing about, well, we better get Trump, or we better get Harris, or we better get this, or we better get that. And I'm standing in awe, and I didn't want to be judgmental, but I'm standing in awe kind of like by myself. And as I'm looking around, I'm like, you've been a Christian for 40 years. You've been one for 30 years. You've been one for 10 years or maybe 6 months, whatever. And we're talking about this one person, one particular person, either Harris or Trump. And that's the one that, oh, if we don't get him, we're in trouble. If we don't get her, we're in trouble. If we don't get God, we're in trouble. Do you understand what I'm saying? What about people on this side? All right. I didn't come here to be mean, I promise. I just wanted to make sure that we understand before all this comes up on Tuesday, it's not about Harris. It's not about Trump. It's all about God. Sadly, we are a nation that is masked. We're covered up by moral regression. We just think this thing's sexual freedom now. Nothing. Oh, it's just okay. Just go ahead and do it. It feels good. Do it. We're in this sexual revolution, aren't we? Just whatever, just do whatever you please. Let me tell you something. There's going to be a day of accountability. Do you understand that? There's going to be a day that you give an account for it. Oh, you might look lightly on it today. Oh, I love him. Oh, I love her. You better love God more. Amen? And God tells us how we are to live our lives. If you are compromising your relationship with God, brothers and sisters, you are committing spiritual adultery. God does not allow that. Say amen if you believe it. Okay. We've got all of that going on. And it is a sad but true fact today that before America is ever conquered from without, we are going to corrode from on the inside out. Do you believe that? Because we can see it happening already. We will just corrode from the inside out. Hey, candidates, can you fix that for us? I don't think so. Say it with me. I don't. We will not be destroyed by what someone else may do to us. I know we all worry about that and should be very vigilant. But we will probably be destroyed by what we do to ourselves. Because we, America today, has become our own enemy. We have become our biggest enemies. It's not Iraq that we better be worried about. It's not Iran that we better be worried about. It's not North Korea that we better be worried about. It's not China, it's not Cuba, it's us, amen? Because we have turned our back on Almighty God, not we individually, I'm just saying it generally speaking, but we have turned our back on God, and we're placing, listen to me, we are placing way too much confidence in one of two people, aren't we? So let me remind us, God bless America, but why should he? How do you think God feels when he looks down upon this earth and he sees people perverting his name, calling his name in vain, committing adultery, involved in sexual immorality, worshiping idols, putting all these things before God? I look in this building, this beautiful building that's been redone, and I look at all the empties. I'm tickled to see you here, and I know God is. But I look around and I see all the empty spots, and I have to ask the question, how did all these other things become more important than God? I'll tell you. Tell you what I think. I don't mean I'm right, but But I think these other things have become, to the eye, a little more attractive. I think people are enticed by attractions of the world. Nothing wrong with hobbies, nothing wrong with those things, but I am refusing. I will stand before you and tell you, I refuse to let anything come between me and my God. Amen? Not going to do it. And I hope and pray that I encourage you not to. It seems that in years gone by, America, listen to me, was referred, does anybody remember this? Young people, you won't, but older folks like me might. I know you might. Does anybody here remember when we were called the Bible Belt? So, we do remember that, don't we? We were referred to as the Bible Belt, but not anymore. We've stopped letting our light so shine. I don't think that we are called the Bible Belt anymore in this area, but we sure need a belt on our hind end sometimes, don't we? We used to be called the Bible Belt, now we need it used on us. We have turned our backs on the righteousness of Almighty God. I believe that we have forgotten what the Bible says about your job, Darlene, and my job, and that's to let our light so shine. Do you agree with that? In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, Chris, verse 16, the Bible says, let your light so before that they may see your glorifying your... Good job, Abby. Where is he? Good job, Bobby. And so we need to remember that. Have we forgotten Luke 6:31? And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them. Amen? Do unto others before they do unto you. I believe is the correct way to do that, isn't it? Now, that's what's wrong now, isn't it? Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Are we good with that? Hey, Harris. Hey, Trump. Can you fix that? Mistreating each other, dogging each other out, blaspheming each other. We'll walk right by you. We'll see a person in need. We don't have a problem with that. Who cares? Leave me alone. I've got things to do. It is sad that we have dismissed God out of our lives. It's so sad that we've dismissed God out of our nations. And yet, here we are. God bless America. Why should I love what the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, down around verse 34. As I talk about what it will take to turn our nation around, what is America's only hope? Will it be another tragedy? Will it take another war? Will it take more and more sin? What is it that will help turn this nation around? I think about Proverbs 14, 34. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a what? It's a reproach to any people. Listen. Whichever candidate is elected for president, he or she can only do so much. If you want a nation that is free, if you want a nation that has hope, if you want a nation that is filled with love, if you want a nation that goes back to kindness, a wholesome nation, a nation with a future, let me encourage you to vote for God. Amen? Vote for Almighty God. Bring God back into your home. Bring God back into your life. Bring God back into the school system. And for the Lord's sake, bring him back into his home, the church. Amen? Bring him back. So let's take a quick look. Short points, very short points. Don't panic. I know that was a long introduction. But I want to share some points with you, very short points, about some things that I believe will help us. America's only hope are these things. Listen. I'm convinced today that we need a spiritual awakening. We need a revival. Does everybody agree with that? We all need to be reminded. We need a revival. We need a spiritual awakening. We all need to be revived from time to time, whether we realize it or not. Let's think about it from an automobile's perspective. One may say, what does a car have to do with us? Let me show you something. You can go out here today and you can buy the most expensive vehicle that you can possibly find. Okay, go out here and purchase that vehicle. When you leave the dealership, it'll probably run good, it'll smell good, it'll be nice, bright, and shiny. But when you get it out on the road, and after a period of time, you're going to need tires. Do you agree with that? You're going to need some repairs. You're going to need to get some fix-a-dent. You're going to have to do all these things because after a while, the vehicle's going to need to be revived, isn't it? It's going to need to be refreshed. You're going to need to wash it because it's going to be dirty. It's going to not look right. So, whether it's a product like that or the product of our soul, brothers and sisters, we all need to be cleansed. We all need to be revived. Do you agree with that? We're the same. No matter who we are, no matter what we do, no matter who we know, no matter how rich, no matter how poor, no matter how popular or unpopular, I'm telling you, it is a true, true fact today that we all, every single person in this building needs a spiritual revival. I do. Do you need one? Do we always need it? And it's not just that we have a revival once a year or a gospel meeting once a year. I'm not downplaying that. But brothers and sisters, we need to be revived every single day. We need to wake up in the morning, look up, and thank God that He's given us another opportunity to see how blue those skies are, to hear how loud those birds are singing, to know that, hey, now I have another opportunity to glorify my Father in heaven by living the right life for Him. He's given me, even though I'm facing adversity and struggles and difficulties, thank you, God, for loving me enough that I can try to make an impact on somebody, that I can try my best to do the right thing, that I can live my life conducive to your word. Lord, you're an awesome God for allowing us to do just that. We need a spiritual awakening. We need a tune-up from time to time. We all need that spiritual tune-up. We all need that spiritual awakening. I'm convinced, because of my own life, that it's easy to get in a routine. Would you agree with that? It's so easy to just get caught up in a routine in our walk with Christ. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, you take it the way you want. But sometimes in our walk with Christ, I'm telling you, we can become stale. Do you agree with that? We're still edible, just like some of the bread in the cupboard. Still edible. Boy, it don't taste as good. I'm afraid we become stale. Also, until we bathe, sometimes we might become a little bit smelly. Would you agree with that? Get a little bit smelly. We start stinking in our walk with the Lord and in need of a revival, in need of a spiritual bath. Listen, no one is exempt from needing a spiritual tune-up. Elders need them. Do you agree with that? Deacons need them. Song leaders need them. Prayer leaders need them. Custodial needs them. Door greeters need them. Preachers need them. Teachers need them. Active church members need that revival from time to time. Members of the body of Christ need it. Lazy members of the body of Christ need it. We all need that revival. Say that with me. We all need that revival. A revival is not only just for the sinner as much as it is for the Christian. We talk quite often about revivals and gospel meetings and, oh, hopefully we can bring some folks in. I'm not downplaying that. Boy, it's so important. But it's also for the Christian. It's mainly for the Christian that has become stale, the one that has become idle, the one that perhaps is walking around, if I may, in spiritual limbo. The revival is for all of us. And as I said a moment ago, I know that I need, constantly need that spiritual revival. The church today. The church needs a spiritual revival. It's not just the pagan Americans that need that revival. It's not the baby-killing abortionists that are the only ones that need that. It's not just the liquor-selling bartenders that need that revival. It's not the loose-living prostitutes only that need that revival. Folks, it's the lazy, lukewarm church members that need that revival. Amen? It is everyone that needs that revival. God, please revive us again. I love that song. Revive us again. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, down in verses 13 through 16, the Lord is talking to the church of Laodicea, how they become very cold, if I may. One would say, well, that's not right, Jerry. They were lukewarm. You're exactly right. They neither was cold nor hot. And because of that, Jesus says, I wish you were cold or hot, but because you're not, I will what? Sis went all the way with that one. Everybody else said spew. She said pew. She said, he will vomit us out of his mouth. He will reject us. Is that good? You like that one, Sid? Good job. The church, we need not be dependent on the world to get right, because it will not. But America, the world, is dependent on you and me to get it right. Does that make sense? We cannot be effective in our missionary work. We cannot be effective in our ministry if we're not fully converted ourselves. If we are not on God's side, doing the right thing, the right way, how do we expect good results out of that? If we are living a hypocritical life, if we're living one life in the church building and another life out there, how in the world do we think we're ever going to be affected? How do you think that's going to affect our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors? we come here on Sunday morning and we make our proclamations. We stand and we talk about how much we love God and how important God is to us. And then in the afternoons, you have to be begged and pleaded to come back. Where were you on Sunday night? Oh, well. Oh, well, what? Where were you? Well, don't give me the answer. Give it to God, because there is a day of accountability. Do you understand that? Hebrews 9:27, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what you've done. Whether, say it like you mean it, whether what? Whether good or bad. I'm not hollering at you. I'm just trying to get us to understand. And I don't understand, and I don't think God understands why we put everything before God. Don't ask me to leave my couch. Don't ask me to leave my love seat. I don't want to leave my recliner. I stopped by Sunday. I took the Lord's Supper. I gave a little contribution, and I did this. I said hello to two people in the church, so I'm out of here. I'll see you next week. Maybe, if I don't have anything else going on. Are y'all getting this or not? You offended yet? That is my job. Not to offend you as attack, but to offend us with the oracles of God. And every time I preach, every time I study, I'm offended. Thank God for that. Amen? I'm so thankful that God's Word is still giving me correction, Larry, in my life. Do you like the Bible? Does it give you correction? Amen. And that's what it should be doing for every one of us. The church is not dependent on the world to get right. It's not going to. But America, this nation, our family, our kids, our grandchildren, other people, they're dependent on us to get it right. We have to get back, brothers and sisters, to preaching the words and preaching the oracles of Almighty God. That's what Paul told Timothy. And brothers and sisters, nothing has changed. Far too many congregations of the Lord's church today, this is so sad, but so many of them have lost their focus. They lose their focus because they remove their eyes from the scriptures and they began to place it on the pews. Do you follow me? I'm going to pull my eyes off the scriptures because I see we don't have the number that we used to. So now I'm going to start entertaining. Now I'm going to start doing this. Now I know I don't believe in musical instruments because there's no endorsement for it in the scripture. But I think next week I'm just going to bring a piano and roll an organ in here. Tony, you'll have to help me because I don't mess up the carpet. And I'm just going to start, and we'll just might as well go ahead and get trumpets and clarinets and saxophones. And let's just do it all. Because that'll help build the number. That'll help fill these pews up. Let's use good grammar. That ain't what God wants, is it? God ain't going to tolerate that, is he? That in itself is spiritual adultery. Just as far-fetched and crazy as all that sounded, it's the same effect when we forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of song. It's the same effect when we're not giving back as we've been prospered. It's the same effect when we're not concentrating on the Lord's Supper. It's the same effect when we live our lives not conducive to the scripture. It's the exact same effect. Do you agree with that? None of us in this building would tolerate having musical instruments. None of us in this building would tolerate a lady to come up and preach from the pulpit. Y'all agree with that? Yes or no? But yet, we tolerate all this other stuff in our own lives. Looking at our lives. What am I doing? How am I violating the scriptures today? I'm not trying to be mean. I just wanted to share heaven together. We sing that song with so much passion. God bless America. Why should he? We've lost our focus. Luke 9:23, Jesus said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and what? How often are you supposed to take up the cross? And then do what? John 8:31, if you abide in my word, what are you? If you abide in my word, what are you? Thank you. You're my disciples indeed. Harris, Trump, the church needs a revival. Can you help us with that? I think not. The second point that I want us to examine is this. I believe today that we need to humble ourselves because we've gotten to become way too proud. Y'all think that's a possibility? Y'all think that's a possibility? All right. So I think today, according to the Bible, that we must humble ourselves before God. America is such a blessed country. That's why folks from all over the world is wanting to live here. It's a scary thought that there are people in America and all of the world that think that they can do everything on their own. And there are people that think that. Do you agree with that? There are people today that think, I can do this and I can do that, that they don't even need God. Jeremiah 10:23 clears that up, doesn't it? It is not in man who walks to do what? To direct his own steps. That great prophet talked about it. Do you remember Proverbs 16? If you'll look there with me, Proverbs chapter 16, and go with me, 18 through 20. Pride goes before what? And a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Go to 20. He who needs the He who heeds the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, I love these last three words. Happy is he. Thank you, Chris. Happy is he. Listen, everything that we have good, all of these blessings, everything good, I want you to know comes from God. We didn't earn it. We didn't make it on our own. God allows the good to come to those who love him. James chapter 1, down in verse 17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of life, with whom there is no variation, the Bible says, or shadow of turning. God is indeed so good. I love him so much, and I hope you do. God sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Folks, we are everything in God, and we are nothing outside of God. Does that sound about right? All right, we're lost without him. John 15, you can look 4 through 6. Proverbs chapter 11, looking at verse 12. When pride comes, watch this, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. Harris, Trump, can you fix this pride problem? Can you fix us? Can you teach us how to be humble? I think not. Friends, we've gotten way too proud, but we've got to humble ourselves. We as a nation of God's people have become way too proud. It's great to have pride in what we do in our church, isn't it, in the Lord's church? It's great to have pride in our relationship with God, and I believe we should, but we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. So many people today fully believe that they're self-sufficient. Let me tell you, and you can look at it later, in the book of Luke chapter 18, 9 through 14, read that a little bit later, this parable about one, it's about humility. And one just thought he was all of that, says, I give this, I did that, I did this, I did that, and oh, Lord, I'm just glad I'm not like this tax collector over here. The tax collector, didn't even want to look up at the Lord. He just beat on his chest saying, what? Forgive me. That's basically what he was saying. I'm not even worthy to look your way. Guess which one was in better shape? The one that was humble. Amen? Say that. The one that was humble was in better shape. Folks, it's sad. America has become so proud that it is too good to hang the Ten Commandments on the wall of the State House. We become too wise to hang them on the walls of the schoolhouse. We become too perfect to hang them on the walls of the courthouse. And Lord forbid them to be hung in the White House. America, I promise you, will die in its pride if America does not turn back to God. A little example of humility and pride. And I want to share this with you. Has anybody ever heard of Muhammad Ali? Listen to this. The great Muhammad Ali was on an airplane. Stewardess came by because Muhammad Ali was up and he was being tough and he was walking around and he was showing his muscles and how tough he was. And stewardess came by and said, hey, Muhammad Ali, take a seat and put on your seatbelt. To which Muhammad replied, listen, I'm Muhammad Ali. I don't need a seat. I'm Superman, sorry. He says, I'm Superman. I don't need a seat and I don't need a seatbelt. She said, if you're Superman, you don't need an airplane. Now sit down and buckle up. You know what? I know that's a little bit silly, but the reality is we've kind of become like that, haven't we? Oh, I don't need that. He does. I don't act like that. She does. Look what they did. Look what he did. No, we better be looking at ourselves. Amen? And let's clean off our own front porch. Let's make sure that we turn this nation around by turning our face to our Heavenly Father, by turning ourselves to God. We got to get back to doing what God calls us to do. America, I said it, will die in its pride if we don't turn back to our Heavenly Father. Church, we got to get it right. I think you sung a song the other day, Larry, or I dreamed this. Get Right, Church. You ever heard of that? Is that the name of that? Get right, church. Remember that. Let's get ready to close. I got to go. I'm tired. And I know you're tired of hearing me. We need to become, and this is going to close our lesson, Teresa. We've got to get back to becoming a praying nation. Okay? We've got to get back. We've walked away from praying like we was. I hope that we all remember that prayer is the Christian hotline into heaven. We have a beautiful blessing with that. We should be praying, thanking God for the opportunity of salvation, thanking God through prayer for the greatest gift of all, His Son, Romans 5:8. We know that. We should be in prayer, thanking God for His church. Matthew 16:18. I say to you that thou art Peter, upon this rock I, Jesus Christ, will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. Having favor with all the people, the Lord added to His church daily those that are being, say it, saved. We should be a nation that prays, thanking God for that mansion, that place is being prepared for prepared people. John 14, 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have. All right, so He's telling us, if I go and do that for you, I'm going to come back and get you. We should be praying for our enemies, yes or no? We should be praying and staying in direct communication with the Father. Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests pray unto the Father is what He's saying. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, down in verse 17. Three words. You remember what those are? Pray. Luke 18, 1. Man ought always to pray and not lose heart. Brothers and sisters, the Lord church, please, I'm begging you, we got to get back to praying. Amen. We got to get back to praying and praying hard. The church is dying on its feet today because we're not living on our knees. Do you understand that? And that's what's going to happen. We're going to keep dying because we're not living on our knees. I'm convinced that one way or the other, the nation's going to do what the nation's going to do. But I want you to know today that you, one person, can make a difference. One person. Change the direction of a lot of people. One person can have a huge effect on the congregation, on your family, certainly for yourselves. Do y'all agree with that? You got more than two that agree with that, or you want me to elaborate? You want me to elaborate, or you want me to go on? All right, so we agree. So can one bad fruit make the rest of them bad? Now you get in the picture or not? All right, so let's work on this together. I'm convinced that one way that we can help our nation is by strengthening the Lord's church, and we certainly do that by praying fervently for our nation, for the church leaders, and the list is endless. Looking at our own lives today, how much praying truly takes place. I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about deep communication with the Father. I'm talking about praying for our nation, our church leaders, praying for our enemies, praying and offering thanks to the Father for all that He has done and all that He will do. Ms. Harris and Mr. Trump cannot fix this problem. Amen. But who can? God. Thank you, Eric. God can fix it. I am voting for God. You choose your candidate. I chose mine. Paul and I went early voted yesterday in Southern Kentucky. I chose who I think was going to be best. You choose you. But as Paul and I walked out of that yesterday, out of that church building, we got into our vehicle and drove away, it was, I promise you, it had to be divine, because both of us looked at each other and I said, well, I voted. She goes, I voted for God. And we both said that at the same time. The reality is we've got to put God back. Put Him back in your lives. Put Him back in your marriage. Put Him back in your home. Put Him back in your relationships. Put Him back at your workplace. Put Him back in your everyday walk of life. We're still going to stumble. Still going to have difficulties. Still going to have some struggles. But I promise you, it'll be the best life you've ever lived. If you want life, want a good, strong spiritual life, put God first and foremost. Don't trade another human being or anything material for your salvation. Did you get this today? All right, let's close. If you're not a Christian today, if you're not a child of God, I want to encourage you to become one. God has blessed America, and He's blessed you. He's blessed you with an opportunity to be here today to get it right. Church, let's get it right. Get it right, church. Let's do the right way. Hear His word. Believe. Of your sins, make a confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses. That confession is that you believe that Jesus is God's Son, gave His life on the cross, where He was murdered on there, He was buried, 3 days later He arose. Is that about right? Okay. right? And then you're baptized upon that confession of faith for the forgiveness of your sins. And then we are to live our life faithful and obedient till we die. And we are to remember that we are indeed. Today, if you're a Christian, you've already been baptized, you've already done these things, but you've wandered from the fold of safety. You want to get back. You want to help be a great asset to this nation. You want to be an asset to the Lord's church. You want to walk in the newness of life again. Come right up here. You don't have to tell me all the details. Just say, hey, I need the prayers of the congregation. Do not be ashamed to ask for the prayers of the congregation. Be ashamed you didn't. Amen? If you have a need, come now.